So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 80, Text 31. Kaschit Guru Kulevasam Brahman Smarasi Nauyuta Vijo Vigyaya Vigyayam Tamasa Param Asnute. My dear Brahman, do you remember how we lived together in our spiritual master's school? When a twice-born student has learned from his guru all that is to be learned, he can enjoy spiritual life, which lies beyond all ignorance. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Saksura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jikaitanya Manogishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapatam Dikam Panchakopa Turubhyashta Kripashindu Vaidacha Patitanam Bhavanejo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New York City. I'm staying here for 4 or 5 days. This morning I'll give the Bhagavatam class in the Bhakti Center or their Sunday program at 10:30. And this evening at the Yoga Room in Astoria, Queens, I'll give a lecture tomorrow night, 26 Second Avenue, Tuesday back in the Bhakti Center. Yesterday was the 6-hour kirtan. Jiva Doi Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the essence of all religion is to show compassion for the living entities by giving him the holy name. So I thought people were very merciful to me by just allowing me to sit in an audience of so many pure chanters and get a drop of happiness, you know, which is something within. I gave a class on the skill of happiness. There's a nice statement. It said that pleasure is the happiness of a madman, and happiness is the pleasure of a sage, indicating that happiness is something so much deeper than mere pleasure, which is not necessarily connected to your state of consciousness, which is your real pleasure or happiness. You see so many people with pleasure, but what is their consciousness? So that type of happiness, which comes from chanting the holy name of Krishna. And when that's present, you have everything. And when you don't have that, you have to get it. And the method is chanting the holy names. And this is what Prabhupada gave and what's so powerful. The whole success of his movement. And New York is the place that swims in the holy name. I mean, it came from Vrindavan. It came to New York. And in different ways, it came back to Vrindavan, Hyendra, back to the holy name. That comes from New York. and the 24-hour kirtan, and now they have the 6-hour kirtans every day without fail, and so many kirtans going on. Anyway, I just felt that's part of my sadhana, that I look on the calendar for the year when they have those 6-hour kirtans. I try to make that a priority. Now we're focused here on the Bhagavatam. And Marge Prickett wants to hear more. And his hearing is very, very special because everything he hears is sparking his eternal relationship with Krishna, whatever that relationship is. So in one sense, you can hear directly about that relationship in the 10th canto, or you can hear anything else about Krishna, and it's also about that relationship. Just like if a Krishna bhakta sees Ram, he'll say, oh my God, look, Krishna's dressed as a king. The creation, oh, how wonderful. But it sparks that relationship. And Marge Prickett has that relationship. So he's eager to hear anything about the person that he loves. And that hearing gives him the faith or attraction, and they're the same thing. Faith in bhakti is your legitimate attraction for bhakti. And bhakti sanjayate bhakti, and it causes more and more bhakti until you're experiencing in your hearing just a river of nectar. And Prabhupada mentions that in the Bhakti Rasa Mritta Sindhu. He says, some people, you know, see Krishna talking to Arjuna, but I see a river of nectar flowing from the moonlight mouth of Krishna to Arjuna. And Marge Prickett is experiencing this nectar. And therefore he's full. When you have that nectar, you don't need food, you don't need water, you don't need anything else. Because we only do everything to get that. Everything we do is to be happy. And if we need pleasures to be happy, then we take those pleasures. But the pleasure isn't the happiness. The happiness is something else. Because if the pleasure was the happiness, we can do it again and again and again and again and again and become happy. But the reverse happens. Even if we enjoy something, the more we do it again and again and again and again, the less happy we become. So Marge Prickett wants to hear about Krishna, about the thing that really fills the heart with that deep satisfaction we're hankering for, which is spiritual love. Love that's not tinged with any sense of infatuation in terms of what I want for myself, which is the greatest, greatest mistake, which is the greatest mistake about love. That love is somehow other, this feeling about myself. Another nice quote that I found, happiness, and I gave this skill of happiness thing. I forgot who it's from, I didn't get the reference. Happiness radiates from the self rather than focusing on the self. So not about this endorsement of my ego and my senses. It's something that comes from the self when your consciousness turns in exactly the opposite way. And it's no longer focused on the self. It's focused on God and others. And the most intense love is when it's so intensely focused on God, one completely forgets oneself. One second, I want to make the microphone a little bit better for the hearing here. So he's talking about this story about Sudama Brahman. And of course, it's about the wonderful relationship of Krishna and his devotees. But it also gives us very important topics of understanding that are required to actually have and feel our relationship with Krishna. If you have the wrong understandings, they will impede your relationship with Krishna. They could even stop your relationship with Krishna, as a Mayavad type conception could do, or a materialistic type conception can do, or even an Aishwaryic conception can do. In a way, it's supportive, but that's a little more deeper point. So we have this Brahmin Sudama who is so poor, abject poverty. His wife implores him to go see his friend Krishna, who's the king of Dwarka. And they're so poor that all he can bring is some broken chip rice. And somehow reluctantly, this Brahmin goes. He's a devotee of Krishna, even though he's Krishna's friend. He's a lover of Krishna. And he's so focused on the pleasure of Krishna. In friendship, but also in a sense of higher than that, God, that he's reluctant to ask anything. It's part of the bhav. It's part of that bhava. So Sudama comes and Krishna is sitting with the goddess of fortune, and Krishna stands up and embraces Sudama. And people are a little bit astonished because he's so poor that they can't even see that he's a married person. They figure in that ashram there's some leeway for economic development. But basically, even though he has a wife and some responsibilities, you know, the occupations of the Brahmins are you teach. They don't accept any employment. They don't do any business. A Brahmin is just completely dependent on Krishna. One time, I forgot who it was I talked about this. One of the sadhus I know in Vrindavan. But he was talking about this Vanashram, that there's a social system in society. There's an intellectual and priestly class. There's an administrative warrior class. There's a mercantile class. And there's a laborer class. And they're determined by one's qualities. But what are the qualities? So I've heard different things, but I'd like to say it talked about really in terms of those occupational duties, not social, but occupational. It really depends on your dependence. that a Brahmin is completely dependent on Krishna. He just, you know, there's no economic development. He just teaches and whatever comes, he accepts. Kshatriya, just by that nature, their security, their psychophysical nature demands a security that they at least have some territory to control. And a Vaishya is a pure analysis by the modes. The mercantile class, their security requires kind of some type of cheating, honest cheating. You want to make no profit business. And then the laborer, his psychophysical nature demands a boss or a master for that type of security. So Siddhartha is, it's completely dependent on Krishna. But somehow or other, I mean, he's living. But really, it's so poor. But now when Krishna sees him, no one else can recognize him. Krishna embraces him, washes his feet, worships him. Because this is the real high class. The real high class is the consciousness of a person, the purity of their heart, their dependence on God, the humility. So this is the ultimate. This is how God sees. He sees one's heart. This is what Guru sees. They see one's heart. How much are you unselfish? How much are you manifesting the nature of the soul, which is love? And love means unselfish. The pure state. The thousandth time I said this, the affectional state of the living entity is called the devotee. Devote, dedication, love. Consciousness reaches its fruition in love. So God sees the love in your heart. There's a statement about, one is not as much remembered. One is not as much remembered for what one has accomplished, but how one made others feel. And you'll actually see that. There's devotees with positions, there's devotees with accomplishments, which indeed may be a reflection of their selflessness and love. But there's not an absolute correlation to a hierarchical position in the nature of one's heart. We see that. And therefore we see sometimes that devotees who are most honored ultimately honored with the heart, not just because they have a big position or they have a celebrity or they have a charisma or they have a power or position. But people who are not bereft don't have that. But sometimes we see people like that, they're respected the most. I'm remembering now Rasagya, who used to be on our Sangha and unfortunately passed away. How much she was remembered for how she made people feel. I was thinking a friend of mine who is a Catholic devotee. I remember the story on this construction worker became a devotee, a big burly guy. And he was Irish. And it was actually the Disappearance Festival with all Krishna Maharaj. And we were having a function in Second Avenue, so he came, and it happened to be St. Patrick's Day. It was very enlivening to him. And then he came up to me, and he said, this was St. Patrick's Day, he said, I'm really glad we had this festival. He said, this is today is a very difficult day for the Irish devotees, St. Patrick's Day. So he's a Catholic devotee, and he tells me about the Pope. He likes the new Pope. He tells me about the new Pope. And he's telling me the Pope made a statement, and, you know, he made a statement. I guess, you know, that he has now, he's invested with that power. He made a statement that we are, you know, that there's too much ambition in the Catholic Church for position rather than purity. We have to root this out among the pastors, among the priests. But that's not Krishna's standard. That's the standard of our karma and our ego and our material consciousness and the things that bring us to the world. Krishna's standard is how pure you are. It's a very personal thing, bhakti, in relationship to God or Krishna. I'm just thinking without mentioning names. Someone visited me who I hadn't seen for about 7 years. And, you know, he's had a hard life, and he frankly told me that his faith has been shattered. But, you know, we had such a relationship as kind of like a student, that honestly speaking, he would give his life for me in a second. And because he's like that, I feel the same way about this person. I was just reflecting on it. And he refused to sit on a chair. I gave him a chair, refused to sit on a chair, sat on the floor. His faith was shattered, but somehow it's a personal thing. And I just thought, actually speaking, this person would die for me. And I would give myself to them. That's how bhakti works. And that's how our relationship with Krishna works. And therefore we see that now in the life of Sudama. I hadn't seen this person for about 7-8 years. Interesting, too. And he belongs to a gang, a very powerful gang. I can't figure that one out, but he just said, if you have any trouble, just let me know. But I'm not that type of person. So now they're kind of reminiscing, Sudama and Krishna, how they live together in the house of the spiritual master. And Krishna tells him, when you learn from your guru, all that's been learned, you enjoy spiritual life, which is beyond all ignorance. Again, that's the real happiness. The real happiness. That's what you enjoy. Just have to surrender. Wow. Wow. What a challenge. The process is simple. The application is difficult. Just have to surrender. Remember Borijan, the Buddha, I quote him because he's so learned. And he he said it jokingly, but it's again, you know, he said, you know, he studied Prabhupada's books for 40 years, and he understood that the essence of all spiritual life is to surrender to the spiritual master. It's to surrender to God. That's what's going to be mentioned in the next verse. It's to find the voice of God. It's kind of like the hand finding the voice of the body. When it finds the voice of the body and follows the voice of the body, the hand has a meaningful existence. The hand is existing. The hand is nourished. It's somehow finding the voice of God that we can't hear because our consciousness is so focused externally in the service of the ego that brings us into this myriad of voices of desire and positioning and resentment and revenge and ambition. When the senses are controlled, the super soul is at reach. When you're no longer taking dictation from the ego, the super soul is at reach. That's which master the external manifestation of the super soul. But finding that voice and having faith in that voice two things, finding it and having faith in it. Well, having faith, finding it, having faith in it, faith to the extent of following it. And you enjoy spiritual life. Sadbhai sakamanam sakshad vijate iha sambhava ayonga yatrasvaminam yataham janado guru. My dear friend, he who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master. And he who initiates him as a twice-born Brahmin and engages him in religious duties is indeed more directly his spiritual master. But the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual order of society is one's ultimate spiritual master. Indeed, he is as good as my own self. So not just rituals, which are important, but direct knowledge of God. Transcendental knowledge. You see, Yanada. There's Janada and there's Karmanan. Did the Yan. That's just the word for the Yan. And you give the Yan to all members of society. And such a person Krishna says he's as good as my own self because he represents God and the desires of God. And that itself is love. And therefore, Krishna accepts that person as his own. Navarta kovida brahman vanashma vataniha ye maya gurana vacha tarantyagyo bhavarnavam. Certainly, O Brahman, of all the followers of the vanashram system, those who take advantage of the words I speak in my form as your spiritual master, O Brahman, of all the followers of the Vanashram, those who take advantage of the words I speak in my form as the spiritual master and thus easily cross over the ocean of material existence, best understand their own true welfare. So all those who are Vanashrama become engaged in Vanashram, those who are Kovida, experts, and therefore Artha, they know their true they know their true welfare. They Uruna Bacha. They take advantage of the Guruna Bacha, the words, the Vacha of Krishna, the words of the spiritual master, the words of the teachers who give the good ideas that are found in the sacred text. And I believe this is referring to the direct understanding of God and our duty to surrender Him. Savai Punso, Hello Dharmo, Yato Bhaktir, Ahoitati Apache. Savai Punso, Paro Dharma. Certainly, the Paro Dharma, the supreme duty. Vaipum saparoda yato bhakti aradoksa day is to serve God. Koitaki, real service, without any motive, without any cause. Kaitaki, without any break. Yata, that's the greatest welfare. Yata supersedity, because that can satisfy yourself. That can satisfy yourself. There was one lady in Auschwitz. I really can't pronounce her name. Her name was Hillerson. And she's somehow kind of like an enlightened soul. And before she died, she said, when you have an interior life, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. So it's the true welfare. Is the self. Okay, purport. One's father is a not natural object of reverence, as is a religious leader who initiates one into sacred ceremonies and instructs one in general wisdom. But ultimately, the bona fide spiritual master learned in the transcendental science and thus able to take one across the ocean of birth and death to the spiritual world. Such a guru is most deserving of worship and respect. He is the direct representative of the Supreme Personality of God, as stated here. 34. I, the soul of all beings, am not as satisfied by ritual worship, rabbinical initiation, penance, or self-discipline, as I am by my faithful service rendered to one's spiritual master. There's even one verse in the fourth canto. As it talked about, Guru Vishvambena Seva, intimate service to the Guru. Spontaneous, real desire to give oneself and please. And it said if one has that, one can even, and I have to understand this in context, and I'd love to find the exact verse, but it did say this. It's even more important than chanting and hearing. Even forsake that. In other words, the change of identity. I am the enjoyer and controller, so I am the servant of Krishna. To feel that, to act on it. Why, as it said in the last verse, finding Krishna's desire of his words, which are spoken in the form of those who love Krishna and represent Krishna. I'm going to stop here because I have another class to give soon, but this will give time to any questions, okay? Anybody like to ask any questions? Can anyone say hello so I can understand that people have heard the class?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you.
All glories to you. Nanda Dulal, I will.
Maharaj, my one question. In the beginning, you mentioned that, you know, the Brahmanas, they completely depend on Krishna. How about the Vaishnavas?
What?
The Vaishnavas.
How was it? How is it possible?
No, the Brahmanas, they naturally depend on Krishna. But the Vaishnavas, they also depend on Krishna.
The connection is not so good. Who also depends on Krishna?
The Vaishnavas.
Yeah, well, sometimes they say that. Yeah, well, okay, yeah. Yeah, I understand your question. It's a good question. Right. Well, it's kind of when one surrenders fully to God, to Krishna, then one's destiny changes. And you have a spiritual destiny. But there's still a psychophysical type nature that interplays. And I understand your question. I just want to formulate the answer really quick, carefully. You know, if the Van Ashram is determined by the mode of nature that you're in, right? If it's to the extent that it's determined by the mode of nature that you're in, your social position, to the extent that it's determined, then to the extent that you're in the mode of goodness and see things clearly will be to the extent that you can be pensful, thoughtful, and depend on God. And the extent that you become covered by the modes of nature is to the extent that you will become independent. So that's the extent. Now, when you really talk Vaishnava, if you really want to talk Vaishnava, yes, whatever position they are in, right, whatever position they are in, they can become completely purified and dependent. And in that sense, be, you know, completely dependent on whatever situation they're in. But if you're just looking at purely in terms of the modes, to the extent that one's in the mode of goodness is to the extent that one will be dependent on God and not independent. I mean, if I can just repeat it one more time in another way, is that I think that's clear. We're all, you know, everyone's devotees, but to the extent, as a devotee even, that you're influenced by the modes, it will affect your degree of security. I look at it another way, and it's, yeah, and therefore, a person who is brahminical will be most detached and dependent on God. But of course, when you say Vaishnava, real Vaishnava, then they can transcend the modes. Okay.
Thank you, Bill. Wow. Thank you.
Anybody else have a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Henry.
Henry. Hi, Bo. Hi, Bo. Good. I have some programs in Washington later in the summer. I'll contact you and see if we can coordinate getting together. But thank you.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I will do next one.
What's that?
We are coming to Washington, you know, but you forgot, you know, we have a thousand here too. What, Richmond?
That's true. That's later in the summer. We'll see you then.
Okay. Thank you, Mara.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. And who is the second one that said Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, what are you, in the Holland Tunnel?
No, I'm at Penn Station. Yeah.
Okay, Penn Station. Okay, great. We'll see you. Thank you.
Bye.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Who's that?
Chaitanya Priya.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Priya. Good.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. One more?
Do you have anything?
What's that?
I said this class really has me thinking.
About?
Some realizations I've had just this past couple of weeks, and how much more there is to go in surrendering.
It's simple until you think about how many things we're attached to.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like that famous thing of the Gordian knot with Alexander, Alexander the Great. No one could untie the Gordian knot. He just came with his sword and cut it. And surrender is like that. It's like it's wow. It's such a scary path of what will happen if we give up control. Who will take care of us? Who will satisfy us? Who will protect us? You know, it's a scary path. But those who follow that path, they get that inner happiness.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
This is Rajarade. Rajarade. Hare Bol. Thank you.
Hare
Krishna. Thank you. I think I will come to your house again sometime. We'll plan that. Okay, Hare Krishna. Ram Shukopa Drew, this